the tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Friday evening service of March 28, 1997, of the Passover Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campground, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Bob Trench is the speaker for the evening.
This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
Sometimes you just need to tell him that too, and then I felt him pat me on the shoulder. He's never really said anything that knocks me down. He never said to me, man, you're a dumb touch, you know that. And he's never done that. I don't think he'll do it to anybody. Anyway, I said, okay, you want to do it, you go ahead. And I forgot about it. I really said, that's it. And we used to have a leftover from the cocktail hour every Wednesday night. Am I going that long? This thing's run out. Okay. Can you hear me in the back?
Well, you don't know what to do, whistle. When you're scared, nervous, whistle. That's what I'd suggest anyway. Can you hear me at the back? The last place I went, I said, can you hear me at the back? And they all said no, and everybody in the front got up and went and sat at the back. So, anyway, let me just finish the story. I'm sure that's a sign I should switch off. What do you think? Glenn says, yes, I've done enough damage. I was going in to see a client, and my secretary said to me, right next door to where you're going is the Tent and Topolan Hire Company. And they owe us about $20. While you're there, just collect the $20. So I did my call, and then I went across the street to the Tent in Topolan High to find a Jewish fellow there, and he starts telling me his sad story. He can't pay me the $20. And I'm Scottish. I want my $20. And so, you know, we had a little bit of a go at one another. And then he said to me, the problem is, he said, there was a Canadian evangelist came, and he ordered this big tent. It's a 1,000-seater tent, but he's gone back to Canada, and I didn't get a deposit, and I got no money, and I'm landed with this tent. But if only I could demonstrate a tent, pitch the tent somewhere, I could sell it, and as soon as I sell it, I'll pay you your money. What do you think I can do? I've got nothing. You know those boys? Anyway, that Wednesday night, we had some visitors around, and we were talking like we usually do, and we're sitting on our lawn, and we look over the harbor and the city, and under the Indian Ocean. It was a beautiful night, and for some unknown reason, there was quite a protracted lull in the conversation. And I thought, well, you know, I better say something to get it going. And I said, by the way, does anybody have a use or a need for a 1,000-seater tent? And there's a businessman there. He was a Canadian, funny enough. And he said, well, I'd love to have one. I said, well, you can have one. Where do you want to deliver it? And he told me. So the next morning, I phoned the Jewish chap up. I said, look, I've got a fellow who wants to make use of your tent for 2 weeks. Just send it to some address I gave him. And he said, what do you mean send it? I've got no money. I've got no truck. I've got no transport. I've got nothing. So I phoned my friend. I said, I'm sorry, the tent's not coming because the guy's got no truck to deliver it. I said, what do you mean it's not coming? He said, I've taken 2 weeks off work. I said, what for? He said, to work in the tent. I don't know what you're going to do in a tent. I said, all right, I'll get my truck, and where do you want it? And he said to me, Punjab Circle. Now, Punjab Circle is a big traffic island, and it's about maybe 2 acres in total area, and all they come off the freeway, a 6-lane freeway, and they come on here, and they circle around, and they peel off to wherever they got to go. Well, I thought it was a crazy place for a tent, but I said to my driver, get the tent and deliver it. They went and collected the tent, and they went to Punjab Circle, and they came back. And about lunchtime, my friend phones me, and he said, the tent's there. He said, I hope it's okay with you, but I've hired about 20 Indian fellas to put it up because I couldn't put it up by myself. He said, so when you come out this evening, he said, because I want you to be here this evening, he said, well, you bring $50 with you. I said, what for? He said, well, you got to pay them. I said, but you asked for the tent. He said, yeah, but you can't just give me a tent. You don't help me put it up. So I'm trying to collect $20. Here's $50 down the tube already, plus a transport. Well, that afternoon, I walked through the hardware store, And this guy's pulling out reams of big, thick rubber electric cord. I said, what's that for? He said, that's for the lights. And he said, by the way, when are the chairs coming? I said, what do you mean chairs? He said, well, no, we're having a meeting tonight. I said, well, I just promised you a tent, that's all. I said, where's all this bunch of wire going? He said, well, I've got the people across the road, and we're going to put a 3-pin plug in their kitchen. We're going to go across this freeway onto the island so we can have a light. I thought to myself, good God, this is going to be a bit tricky, isn't it? So I have to now order chairs. I said, how many chairs do you think? He said, 1,000. I thought, I'm not paying for 1,000. I ordered 500. I got 500 delivered there, and I never said anything to Thelma. I thought, she'll think I'm wacky. This is Thursday now. Come home from work, I get dressed, I go get 7 o'clock. Well, I came off the freeway, and here's this tent. It's got one globe in it, one bulb. The dismalest looking thing you've ever seen. But how do you get on how do you get off the road and get on with your car, especially if you have a low-slung car like I had? Well, I drove around half a dozen times slowly, and there's some guys inconsiderate, blow their horns and all kinds of things, but I suddenly found this place where I thought I could make it. So I got up on this island. Well, I walked inside. There's 500 seats, a little bit bigger than this. There's one woman. There's my Canadian friend and a Methodist friend, and I make number 3. In total, there's 4 of us. I said to him, what are we doing anyway? Must remember, I never heard of a tent meeting in my life. Never. With me, if you do anything religious, go to a building, go to church. He said to me, we're holding a meeting, of course. I thought, oh, man, I've got wacky friends here, really. I was so cross because $20 what I was owed. I don't know what the chairs were, but that was 100 or something. The flex he's got across the road is worth maybe 200 and is going to get mauled up with his trucks going around it or all over it. I just thought, this is stupid, man. So I walked out because I was angry to get in my car. I got in the car, and as I closed the door, God spoke in here and said, command the people to come. I thought, you know what? It's catchy. Whatever they got, I got it. How can you command people to come? How many know that I told you God builds on? Revelation. And his revelation doesn't have to be religious, spiritual, or biblical. All he said to me was, command them to come. I sat in my car. I wound the windows up. God, I don't want those crazy people thinking I'm like them. The two of them. And I said, in Jesus' name, I command the people to come. And the moment I said that, I felt terrible. I thought, yuck. I'm off my head. I actually started the car, and I was going to try and find a way how to slide off this Punjab circle, when I suddenly looked, and I saw lots of people coming down with flashlights. Because the streets never had lights. And it was like in here, the voice said, they obey my voice. I switched off the engine and I sat and watched. Because the other word said to me, don't be silly. They're all going to the theater. They're all going to the cinema. They can't be coming here. You haven't advertised. You haven't promoted. You just pitched a tent. You think these people are coming? They're all Hindus. They're not Christians. Why would they come? Guess what happened? They all started walking in between the traffic. It was a difficult place to get to. And they all started filling in the tent. Well, now I go and join my friends. And, you know, the one from Canada is a hallelujah boy. He's going, hallelujah, glory. He's all excited. The Methodist is just standing there like good Methodists. He doesn't know what's happening. Just standing there. I said, what are we going to do now? My Canadian friend said, I'm not sure. So we had a meeting. I said, the best thing is, let's put Rex up. He's a Methodist. Because whatever he says, we're not even sure he's born again. That's where we were at. So whatever he says, we can correct it afterwards anyway. And then the Canadian, he gave his testimony, and I brought a short word. But the place is packed with Hindus. And I gave my first gospel appeal ever right there. I said, all those who want to renounce all their gods and receive Jesus Christ, I want you to come forward. I couldn't believe what happened. Elkley stood up. I said, sit down, sit down. I'm ruining my first gospel appeal. Instead of being happy, I thought they haven't understood, so I made them all sit down again. And I went over the whole thing again, explaining you've got to renounce and have nothing to do and throw all your gods out in the backyard and get rid of them. I mean, I went in detail. And they all stood up again. Well, when they all came forward, and we prayed for them, when they'd all left, there were walking sticks, there was a wheelchair, there were crutches left behind. And we stood with an empty tent with all that stuff lying around. Well, we went home. I got home 1 o'clock in the morning. The next morning I get into the office and I said to my secretary, whatever happens, keep the calls away because I had a late night. She said, I got news for you. She said, there's a police officer sitting in your office waiting for you. I got an answer. He said, is that your tent in Punjab Circle? I said, yeah. He said, you have no permission to put it on public property. Will you have it removed? And here's your ticket. I mean, the fine was something like $1,000. I'm trying to collect $20. And I got all this expense, and now I got a fine. Well, while the policeman was there, guess who came? The health department. You have not supplied latrines and toilet facilities. And guess what he gives me? Another ticket. Another 500. And I'm getting a bit angry with this. And I said to God, what's going on here? I just wanted $20. I'm now spending thousands here by the time this deal's over. And I didn't finish because they kept coming. The electric light people came. How dare you put a cable across a road? And I mean, they went bananas. No one was concerned that we got people born again, healed and delivered and set free. I phoned my Canadian friend. I said, you've got to take a 10 down. I told him. He said, that's your business. He said, there's more people coming tonight. I said, it can't be that. I got to pay these fines. He said, you handle it. That's your business. It happened to be election time. Let me tell you how God reached the city. It was election time. And I was naughty. In fact, I'm going to tell you something that I shouldn't tell you because you weigh up my personality. I phoned the head of each department that had a fine against me and I invited them to come to the meeting. And they all said they wouldn't come. And I told them, I want to tell you, if you don't come, I'm taking a half-page advert in the newspaper and I'm saying the following men would not come because they were racist. That's awful, but that's what I did. You know why I did it? Because I'm trying to save my money. And guess what happened that night? They were all there. When we gave the gospel appeal, I'll never forget what happened. We took photographs in there so we could prove that they were part of it. Oh, I must tell you, they put free electricity on for us. The health department put latrines there. They had policemen on duty to get the people across. But that night, everyone at that head table and that little platform, all the heads of department, came out for prayer with the Hindus. From that, we started a fellowship that changed the city of Durban for at least 25 years. At the end of 6 months, the Hindu Cultural Association acknowledged that over 25,000 people, as a result of that one tent, had left their faith and become Christians. When God gives you a revelation, no matter how simple, the littlest of things can bring the biggest of results. But we're always waiting for God to tell us something big. But God deals with little things. It's right at 10 o'clock and I can see you've had a hard day and I'm just about through. But if you've never had a revelation from God, that's what you need to be expecting. You need a revelation. Now, I can tell you people, just looking at you, that you have a hunger for that and it has never reached you. You're one. You've longed for many days to hear God speak to you personally. That's what the Lord says. I should tell you, He has spoken to you personally. But you've allowed other things to cloud it out so much you couldn't recognize it. But now, you will hear Him speak to you and watch out for Satan coming to cover that word. If you identify the devil's activity covering that word, you'll find God's word. Does that make sense to you? When we talk about revelation, or somebody here I saw, this lady here. You've had a real understanding of the gospel. And it's, see, when you and I get together, the power is strong. But the Lord wants me to tell you that you've seen good things happen. You've seen great things happen. But your end time should be better than your beginnings. And the word I got for you is that the latter wine is always sweeter than the first wine. And you have a soft heart that you try and cover up. God says He knows your heart. He knows you when you were growing up. He knew you when you were being nursed. And He has protected you till you got to this stage. And you are no longer to be a silent witness. You are no longer to listen to men, but you are to hear from Him and do what He tells you to do. And He'll watch over that word to perform it, that you will stand amongst the accomplishers and not those that are just spectators. Are you two together? You married to Him? Hey, you could have done better. He doesn't attract me at all, but if that's what you got, you got. Hold His hand. Hold His hand. And if you would learn to receive the things of God first into your heart, and then you give it to Him, His decision-making will improve because of your submission of God's thoughts. Decisions, good ones, come from good submissions. You are His helper. It's not good for Him to be alone. Okay? And you have a divine calling, and you can help Him be what God wants Him to be. The two of you are one. And you can become powerful. Okay. Now you have a desire to serve God. People laugh at you and think you'll never make it. But if you will discipline yourself as a soldier going into battle, and you become hardened physically, discipline yourself physically, so that you develop muscles, then you'll be strong, and you will fear not, and you will pull down the strongholds round about you, near you, and far afield. This day, you decide what you will do. Many men wish, hope, and desire, but never decide. You, tonight, are called by God to make a decision. You hear that? It's a strong word, but that's because God wants you to be strong. You know, Jesus never spoke soft words that I'm aware of. That's why I think He should have been a Scotsman before He was a Jew. But anyway, I'll find out about that later. It's not head knowledge. You've been trying to fill yourself with head knowledge. You've been watching men, how they operate. And you've been trying to glean from men. Be careful. That's not what you should be doing. Allow the Spirit of the living God to change you. Mentally. Take control of physical appetites. And God will put in your hand a sword. It'll be two-edged. It'll deal with you and your circumstances, where the devil thinks he's got you trapped. Fantasies will leave you. And you will do the works of God. People say, why don't you pray for them when you say that? No. I don't believe in praying for people until they've digested it. Even when a vision comes, you know, a vision is of no value until you know what you're going to do with a vision. You remember the vision came to go to Macedonia, and then it says, and we concluded. If he'd never come to a conclusion, the vision was wasted. How long have you been a Christian?
Been a long time.
You have enough knowledge. You have enough understanding. What you really need is revelation. See, a soldier cannot go into battle if he doesn't know what the orders for the day are. The commander-in-chief says I should say to you that you are now about ready to come out of trenches, to come out of the battle, go forward, and occupy new land. You have marched in some area and marched time. You have played the music. You have sung the military songs. You've sung the songs of battle. You've done all those great things. But now you're to go and occupy and walk in victory. The devil shows me that he's tried to hold this man back. And almost every time he's put his foot forward, the devil's pulled the mat from under his feet and he's fallen. But it won't happen again. This time he will go forward. Satan, not only you're a liar, but you're a dirty fighter.
Yes,
and right now we take the word of God against you and we say, step back. Get out the road. Move over, for the man of God comes forward. And this is the time of the manifestation of this man, so society may see the Jesus that's in him operating. Go forward now, demonstrating the power and the love of Jesus Christ as never before. Be blessed. Be blessed. All meetings end up in one way or the other. You can bring people forward, but tonight is decision time. Decision. If I can keep the emotion away, especially for men, then they can make a decision. The Bible says the whole of creation's waiting. The whole of creation's waiting for the church to be the church. And that's what's never happened. The church has been everything and all sorts. But the church is going to be Jesus Christ on earth. The head controlling the members. And that'll take decisions, men. See, I can see that you'd love to be used of God more. There's in your face, the whole expression, you don't even have to have discernment. You watch a lot of things go on that you just ponder about and you just put some aside because you've seen things you don't agree with. That's fine. But one thing you've got to know is that desire you have has come from above. And if God puts that desire there, it's your responsibility to begin to move in it. So you've got to decide that you want to hear from God. And the moment you've made that decision, the word's on its way to you. It's just on you, man. In fact, if anybody doubts me, come and have a look at him. As close as he'll ever look to an angel. You better go and look in the mirror quickly because it might change. See, when Jesus spoke, he never had altar calls and he didn't bring people forward. But every time they left him, they were different. If you walked in here and you leave here the same you came in, it's because you didn't mix what I said with faith. I'm telling you, I've come here because God sent me here. We are here by the most, we haven't even began to tell Glenn, we are here by the most strange set of circumstances I've experienced in a long time. And what I've shared tonight, I know comes from the heart of God. It doesn't make sense to me because I had another thing prepared. I sat down and wrote it. I got some notes here. I wrote down that I planned to share and God's got me on this track tonight. So that's your fault. Those are your needs that God's been meeting tonight. You have the peace of God. That peace is what the world is looking for. Now you have to find a way to communicate that peace to people that don't know him. You do meet people in the supermarkets, at the filling stations, and where you go and purchase and buy, and where you go. Those are the people Jesus loves and died for. Those are the ones to witness. You can treat the Christians rough because they've got to learn how to forgive you and get along with you. But the unsaved people, they're the ones you've got to be the witness for. How many understand what I'm saying? Okay. And you also, you have a good judge of character. You can tell a fake when a fake's coming. Yeah, it's in you. It's just that vibrance. And that's a gift of talent from God. But now what's got to happen, your heart's got to be softened. So that you understand that when you speak, yours may be the only voice that some of these people are going to hear. You know that people respect you, some fear you, some are envious and jealous of you. I don't know what you do, but that's what God's telling me here. There's a lot of jealousy and envy around you. That's because you're a strong person.
Ignore that. Yes. Just ignore it, and you're doing quite well. But now you allow that love to come up. Let that love come up. In the name of the Lord, this is instruction from the heart of God. Allow His love to rise up, and you watch how attractive people will find you. And people will be drawn to you, and they'll be receptive to that which you've got. Okay. Praise God. This is, what I'm trying to do is bring this meeting to a close, but I don't quite know how to do it, except I think we've just about done it right. So how'd you like to hold hands? Don't close eyes, for goodness sake. I know we close our eyes too quickly and there's too many pickpockets around, so don't do that. Just hold one another's hand, and if you happen to be with your wife or your friend or somebody, just give them a nice compliment. Say something nice to them, you know, and then you'll have a hard job of thinking something nice to say to him, but do your best, will you? You'll have no problem dealing with a rose, right? Now, while you're holding hands, you see, we're sitting sideways, but you've got to look at one another. See? Now, you say, you knew you shouldn't have sat next to that guy because you don't want to pay him a compliment, okay? So if you're sitting next to your mother-in-law or somebody you don't like, now's the time to get up and go somewhere else. Now, this is, have a look at Glenn and tell me. I mean, they're making a real feast of it, you know. What I want you to do now is just say something nice, kind, sweet, gentle, upbuilding to the person on either side of you. Just do that. Just take a minute. Don't rush it. Make sure it's as sincere as you can make it. Okay. All right. By the look on some of your faces, I'd love to know what you said. Now, I'm going to close a little bit differently now. I'm going to ask the men only. I'm going to teach you a Zulu expression. Yes, I'm going to. I'm going to teach you fellas a Zulu expression. And it goes like this. Tandazi Nkulu. I want all the men to say after me, Tandazi Nkulu. Okay, that's pretty good. Say it one more time. Tandazi Nkulu. Now, I want you to look at the girl that's next to you or some girl close to you. If you don't have a girl next to you, find one. And Doc, that includes you. And now, I want you to look her in the eye, and I want you to say to the girl next to you, Tandazi Nkulu. I want, Doc, will you look at, just take it by the hand and say Tandazi Nkulu. Now, I hope every man has said Tandazi Nkulu to some lady. Now, ladies, I want to tell you what they have done. Tandazi Nkulu is a proposal of marriage. So all you have to do now is say yabo. That means yes. Say yabo, and that guy is caught. Now anybody tells you that our meetings are dull and dry and dead is crazy. Tell him to come here and we'll get him married one shot off, just like that. All right? Now I've enjoyed sharing with you. And I think it'd be a good time to stand up and just, let's praise God. Shall we do that? I think this has been good. You like to come, I go and sing. You know that chorus, it is no secret what God can do. I think we should sing that. But in the singing of it, make sure you're referring it to yourselves. It's no secret what God can do with you in society. Is that okay? No, I want to thank you. I've enjoyed talking to you. I hope you know I didn't preach tonight. After that preaching the other night, I decided not to compete with that. I may not come up to scratch.
Where's Bill?
I think David outshone us.
Bill? But come on, Bill.
Well, who's going to come and we? I wish we had the bagpipes, but we'll do the next best. How many know the chorus? It is no secret. Well, come on, let's go.
It is no secret what God can do, what He's done for others, He'll do for you.
Pardon somebody.
With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God
asked you not to close your eyes, but religious habits cling. Don't close your eyes. Look at the person next to you and say what God, you know, appointed them. Bring them under conviction or whatever you want to do. But make sure you share that truth. We're not singing this to God. We're telling one another it's no secret what God can do. Don't look up to Him. He knows that. Tell the people around about you it's no secret what God will do for you.
It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you.
Let's praise God. Shall we do that? I think this has been good. Glad to come. I go and sing. You know that chorus, it is no secret what God can do. I think we should sing that. But in the singing of it, make sure you're referring it to yourselves. It's no secret what God can do with you in society. Is that okay? No, I want to thank you. I've enjoyed talking to you. I hope you know I didn't preach tonight. After that preaching the other night, I decided not to compete with that. I may not come up to scratch.
Where's Bill?
I think David outshone us.
Bill? Come on, Bill.
Well, who's going to come and I wish we had the bagpipes, but we'll do the next best. How many know the chorus? It is no secret. Well, come on, let's go.
It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you.
Point at somebody.
With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do.
Now, I ask you not to close your eyes, but religious habits cling. Don't close your eyes. Look at the person next to you and say what God, you know, appointed them. Bring them under conviction or whatever you want to do. But make sure you share that truth. We're not singing this to God. We're telling one another it's no secret what God can do. Don't look up to Him. He knows that. Tell the people around about you it's no secret what God will do for you.
It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for us, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do.
Now, while we're singing that, and we're telling each other it's no secret what God can do. Well, why don't we let Him do it? Why don't we let Him do it? So you say, do what? Well, He could give you a revelation right now. He could give you a thought right now. That you walk out of this room and you know what you have to do tomorrow and the next day. So we're going to sing it. But please, don't get religious on me. Don't close your eyes. Don't get in a trance. Don't fall down. We're talking to one another. We're encouraging, we're edifying, we're building up one another. Trying to act like a Methodist. All right, let's go.
It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for us, He'll do for you. Secret what
We have one other thing that has to happen. Everybody in the last two rows at the back, the last two rows in the back, we know that you sat there because you thought the Holy Ghost wouldn't move there. So the last two rows at the back, will you please come forward? We have something to say to you. The last two rows at the back, please come forward. All the children, stand in front here. Watch the water. Now, you're so used to looking here, but I want you to stand that way and look at the people when you're all in the front. Now, these are the back row Charlies. Will you please look that way? Now, I want everyone here to sing to these backsliders from the back row. It is no secret what God can do for the back row people. Okay, let's do that. And if you feel so led to come and minister to them, it's a good time to come. All right, let's go.
It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for us, He'll do.
Over here that nobody's come to, I don't know why, but maybe the two, you're looking quite good, come and minister. All right? The Bible says we should minister one to another. So he has a good chance. Now, they didn't expect to become the stars of the evening, but here they are. Look at them. He has the church of the future.
Amen.
You might as well pray for them, bless them, have a good time with them. Okay.
It is no secret what God can do, what He's done for us.
Going to just dismiss now with God's blessing. Make do. You go back, go to bed. Don't keep anybody awake. Remember all those instructions that Glenn gave? See that you adhere to them. But whatever you do, when you come back tomorrow, will you please come with those smiles? I've enjoyed ministering to you. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bless everyone, every family, every home, every business. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bless them and I thank you for them. Amen. And everybody said, amen.
My clasp, my hands and sing glory. I sing glory to the Son of God. I bow on my knees and cry. Oh, I cry. Oh.
can I clap my hands and I cry glory. Come on, sing it, church. Sing glory to the Son of God. I bow on my knees and cry holy.
Holy is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Holy are you, Lord. Holy.
For the Lord would say unto his people that I have given you the feast days to remember what I have put forth for all mankind. For this is my plan from the beginning to the end. This is my plan where I will lead the people out of captivity. Yea, why have you forgotten that the people that I led out of captivity came there without any infirmities? They came out whole. My people come out of captivity whole, with no illness, no sickness. My people come out of captivity whole. And yet you would say to me, free me from these bonds, Lord, but let me keep my illnesses. I say I am a God of abundance, and I will lead my people out of captivity. And when I do, there will be no infirmity upon them. They will be made whole. They will be made free by the power that my Son bled on the cross, so all could be free. This is my plan for man. This is my plan from the very beginning. I have laid out my feast days to show these unto you. I have laid out my feast days, and they are clear to what I expect of my people. I am not a God who skimps on his people. I am an abundant God, and I say I am leading my people out of captivity, and they will come out whole. 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 Send your healers into the land this day. Let them put the oil upon the heads of those those that are infirm. And if they are willing, and if they want to come out of captivity, I say I will be an abundant God, and I will not only give them their freedom, but I will give them their health, and I will give them their well-being, and I will give them their prosperity. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
The cloud of love is moving.
Move with the cloud. Move with the cloud. The cloud of glory is moving. Move with the cloud. Move with the cloud. And your spirit will rise and your strength may renew. Let your spirit arise and your strength be renewed. Come, let us move all together. As you follow where he leads, new life you will receive. Move with the cloud, move with the cloud.
Let your it or not, but the angels of the Lord are encamped all about this place tonight. There is a presence of God and the angels in this place. I tell you, these walls and ceilings and everywhere is lined with the angels of the Lord. They are standing in awe, and we were praising and magnifying Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen, amen. Well, let's see. What do we do after that? I guess everybody... Oh, I know. I know. Is anybody here who has never received our tape that we give to everybody called The Arkansas Story? Anybody here who... You know, there's a few. We passed out a lot of them last night. Take a handful and that should do it. This is about this picture hanging on a wall over here, and about how the Lord told me, and she gave me a vision of this place in 1967, and how we looked for it all over the country, by mainly in the Northwest, and then by circumstances, we came here, and eventually the Lord showed us this place, and we moved here. I was in 67, we moved here in 74, and we've just been here ever since.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.